Hey there, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans. Welcome to another episode of the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. After Show on AfterBuzz TV. Tonight we are talking about Season 4, Episode 18, No Regrets. Quite a few familiar faces this time around. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Oh my gosh, guys. I'm not even gonna lie. There was a part in this episode where I teared up a little. I did not make me cry, but I did. I was overcome with some emotions. Mm. Even my cold, dead heart was touched
Chloe
by this
Bennett
episode.
Chloe Bennett is very beautiful, Megan.
She's,
I know.
She's gorgeous. What can I say? How about you guys? How are you feeling right now?
I'm excited. I mean, like, this is a good episode. Yeah. And it's, like, still, like... Yeah.
there was a dramatic pause just
as
there.
Because, I was starting to think about all the cool stuff that happened. That was my first thought. And then I was like, oh, wait, but that other stuff.
But that other stuff, though.
Yeah, I'm really excited to talk about this episode. We finally kind of got a move forward in this arc. And even though it's a sad move forward, It is still a forward move that's really exciting.
It's one of those things where it's like, we get it. We're in the Matrix. What next? And we definitely got that. So let's not waste any time. Let me go ahead and introduce my fantastic panel. To my left, Zach Wilson.
Hey, guys. I ran into the studio, tripped, and fell.
But
I'm in my seat.
Jesse Klein.
Hey, guys. Welcome to the Beard Corner with Zach and Jesse. We'll see if I come up with a clever pun. I may or may not.
I am looking forward to the Beard Corner this week. This is going to be fun. Sadly,
Melinda may or may not.
Okay.
Look, don't make me mace you.
All right. I may need a shield if you do.
You guys are so lucky that I am so overjoyed at Tripp's return that I shall allow these indiscretions to slide. I shall allow it.
Oh, Megan, we're quaking in our boots.
Listen, I have sky-high hopes for this episode.
I'm going to stop you right there to tell our audience. Sorry, guys. Sadly, Tehran could not join us tonight. He's been sent off to the re-education center. No.
Evil Megan.
Is Megan our warden?
That's hurtful, Zach. That's hurtful. Genuinely hurtful. But no, please send him your well wishes at I am Tehran and I'm Megan. You guys can follow me on Twitter at the Menguin. That's Themenguin. We are going to be keeping an eye on the hashtag ABTV Marvel as well as an eye on the live chat. Thank you to everybody who's staying up late with us.
Live chat on my Mac.
Ooh. Listen, we could fill this entire episode with puns if we
wanted
to.
I've got a lot of hope for this episode.
Go ahead, guys. Feel free. Beard Corner.
We could fill Coulson this entire episode full of puns.
I'm going to allow you to go ahead and fill, go ahead and get all the puns out so that we can talk about the episode. Go for it. Go.
Honestly, I think we're out of character.
Now that you've done this. By the way, I did Iron Fist earlier today, and I think we did 30 plus hand puns. Like, we could not stop with the hand puns. The live chat got in it. The live chat started just doing hand emojis, like all the hand emojis.
Well, I hope you have it out of your system.
Yeah. Clearly not. Yeah.
I can't wait to see what the live chat comes up with. Anyway, guys...
Look, kill one pun and two will grow in its place.
That's a lot like a Hydra, which is not represented in the logo of Hydra.
Sounds like pundemonium.
Okay.
Boo! What have I done? I've surrounded myself. I did this to myself. My one regret is a saying that I would allow puns at the beginning of the show. If only there was a world where someone could take away my one regret.
The chat's like getting mad at us. They're like, focus, guys, come on.
Our apologies, it's a little late. Okay, so let's talk about this episode, because this episode had a lot of really interesting philosophical discussions about things that we've been talking about for the last few weeks about whether or not an AI that feels love and compassion can actually be considered a real person, and what it means to make people safe in terms of, you know, taking away their freedoms for the sake of security. We get a lot of that in this episode. And we get a lot of really unsettling references to our own world, to the point where I was starting to actually feel uncomfortable. I mean, it was one of those things where I would laugh and then feel very sad, yeah, and then laugh again and then feel sad, because of the real world parallels that we got in this episode. I don't know. How are you guys feeling?
Yeah, I mean, there were a lot of I really liked this episode overall. As Jesse was saying, it drove the plot forward in a big way.
Yeah.
That the show really needed to do. That's what Shield's always been good at, is like, yeah, constantly moving forward.
Except for the first half of the first season.
Well,
there's a lot of inertia that you need to overcome, yeah, when you're starting to get the ball rolling.
It's like when you back up a Hot Wheels toy that's gonna, like, a mechanical one. You gotta like wind it up a bunch of times and then it shoots forward
and
for 4 years.
They really did have, like, the release of Winter Soldier really dictated a lot of that pacing.
For sure, yeah.
But this episode was good back to front. There were the references to the real world, like, got a little heavy-handed once or twice. Like, the nevertheless she persisted thing. Like, I get it. It's a big moment, but like it took me out of it because it's so just like,
it was a direct...
look at the politicalness of our show.
Yeah.
That said,
like, we get it.
It's scary. Like, we got it from Hydra.
Yeah.
Hydra's scary.
Yeah.
And Fitz in Hydra is super scary.
Yeah.
And now that we got Fitz's background as to exactly what happened here,
we get, yeah, Fitz dad.
What his one
Mr.
regret
Fitz
was.
They call him Mr. Fitz.
Daddy Fitz.
I do have to do a shout out though, because Asa Queen in the chat
says,
"I'm laughing without joy."
Oh. Yeah. I mean, yeah, that is what a lot of this episode is. Especially again, just. Again, especially Ada's insistence that this is just the way the world would be. I just took away the one thing that everybody wished I could take away for them, and all the rest was algorithms. All of the rest, you know, it's the consequences of your own actions. Don't blame me.
It's just, I don't know why algorithms have, like, children playing flip cup or like like the ball on a string for no reason. Like, that doesn't.
But again, it's not just a computer algorithm. This,
yeah,
is a computer algorithm fueled by the dark
magic
hole.
Yeah.
So it is like all of that, but like with magic running through it.
Just,
yeah, so,
out of curiosity, do you guys think that Ada has an understanding of the magical component that the, like, because nobody who was being influenced by the Darkhold knew they were being influenced by the Darkhold?
She didn't design the framework, and, yeah, like, so I don't know that she is influenced. She, like, that was the fake out, I think, was that, like, they made us think that Ada was influenced by the Darkhold, but it was, yeah, really just Radcliffe, and then he was programming Ada to do all of this.
I'm not entirely sure. I keep going back,
yeah,
and
I
forth.
I think Ada is clearly influenced by the Darkhold.
I think it's Radcliffe building stuff into her. In that sense, influenced by the Darkhold, but I don't think she's directly.
It's hard to say, but last week she had such an emotional reaction to what was going on and to confronting Radcliffe, that it really did feel like this thing that's not supposed to have emotions had emotions. That, not that she was just mimicking them. It really felt, and maybe that's the point of the framework, is that these things that aren't real feel real.
I wish they would remind us more about the Darkhold and the magic, because right now, like, because none of that, it's just like, I don't, this computer does not make sense. and like, saying, yeah, it's a wizard did it is fine, but you have to kind of show me that the wizard is doing it. And, like, that's the only frustrating thing about these episodes, is if they had... All they would have to do is just have Simmons be like, this isn't working the way it should. It's because of Radcliffe and Ada's like involvement with the Darkhold. This computer works differently than most computers do.
Yeah,
yeah, but and, instead the refrain for her just keeps being, this isn't real. None of this matters.
Yeah. I just wish they would do something to remind us, because, again, like, I want to see the wizard. Like, don't just say, like, a wizard did it. And it's making us make that A to, really, like, A to D logic that, oh, okay, the Darkhold is doing it, and that's why this computer works this way, and not just let us know that's why it's working.
Yeah, Rachel Goodman in the chat asks, I thought she did design it, referring to Ada.
Yeah, I remember her designing something orange.
That was her designing a brain.
Yeah, it was like, her doing the brain stuff. Scan for May. Although, to be fair, when she was putting May through that kind of Groundhog Day scenario, she was making adjustments to the framework as needed. And it ended up being Radcliffe's idea to be like, oh, wait, okay, design the world minus her one regret, because it was very much a trial and error process.
Yeah. Mm. Now the interesting thing with the artificial intelligence that I think that we're being presented with here is Ada in the real world is inside of a mechanical, like, being. Like, she's inside that robot that has a certain amount of programming built into it.
Is Ada inside it, or is Ada the mechanical being?
Well, this is where I think it gets interesting. I think that inhabiting the structure of the robot,
mm-hmm.
I think what they're trying to show us is that limits her in terms of what she is allowed to do.
She's a lot more human. Yeah.
Yeah, and how she can think and how she can act. But inside the framework, I think the free will barriers that are there are broken down. Like, she is she's clearly expressing love and hatred and anger, all of these emotions. And I think the structure of the framework, because it's influenced by the Darkhold, allows her to feel those things. So by attacking the framework and trying to destroy the framework, they really are trying to, without necessarily meaning to, take away her free will.
Yeah, and take away, you know, the closest thing she has to being human, too. Mm-hmm. And you know, she basically brings that up in that very brief conversation she has with Daisy, where she's like, I only want the same thing that everybody else wants, and that's a choice in the matter. And it's true, in the outside world, she doesn't really have a choice. Even though she's essentially killed Radcliffe, she's
not
still
essentially.
Yeah, yeah. There's no essentially about it. She super killed him.
Mm-hmm.
But she still has programming and directives that she needs to follow, and parameters to those directives. And granted, without Radcliffe being there, she does have a lot more autonomy, but it's still the same basic, hey, you need to do this.
Yeah.
But do you guys think in that last moment with Mace after he dies, after he flatlines, do you think that there was a moment of regret on Ada's face?
I don't think so. I actually think that the point of the cutaway to the real world was to remind us of exactly what you were pointing out. There's a difference between Ada in the real world, where she is a robot and her emotional capabilities are limited, versus how she is as Madame Hydra in the framework. I kind of feel like that was more of the point.
I thought it was the point to us that we're not done seeing Mace, because they have his brain scanned, so there's no reason why Ada in the real world can't just upload Mace's brain. Just because his body is dead doesn't mean that she can't just re-upload Mace.
He would be a digital copy. Like, that's the one thing.
It would be the same as Radcliffe or Agnes.
Yeah, I don't know. I also am not sure why Agnes wouldn't have a backup.
Yeah, I'm not sure why either.
Because Ada wanted her dead.
Well, that part aside, there's no reason that they couldn't. Like, unless the framework is more magical than we realize, and it's actually storing a soul when she downloads the contents of their brain, there doesn't seem to be any reason why she couldn't just
make copies.
Put a new version of Mace. Now, he wouldn't be able to jump back into his body, but he would be living there.
You know what there's a possibility of? You know how when you back up your computer, or when you store things to the cloud, and then, hey, you have to restore your computer to a point? That's essentially, I think, what Ada can do. I mean, because that's what she offers Daisy. She's like, I can give you the one thing you regret losing. I can give you Lincoln. I just have to go to a certain restore point, and then bada bing, bada boom, we're all good.
Yeah.
And you can be happy, and you don't have to worry about being here or anything like that. So I feel like it's the same thing, where if she wanted to, I feel like she could just kind of go back to a certain restore point and make Mace not dead. Like, if that makes any sense.
And I'm not so sure. I mean, Mace did flatline, so he is dead. But I feel like Operation Looking Glass, the point of it is so that Ada can go into a human body. So that she can transfer her intelligence in the framework into someone's human body in the real world.
Was she just waiting for somebody to die then so she could test it out?
I don't know. I think if your intelligence is in the framework, it feels like Ada has access to it. And then, like, just pull a switcheroo and put herself in a human body.
Possibly. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, it's... I don't know if that... I think that's a very interesting angle, but I'm not sure if that's her end game. Because... But, yeah, ultimately, I feel like whatever her end game is, it definitely has to do with Fitz. And being with him or making him happy or at least complacent in the way that she wants him to be.
I think you're on to something there with her jumping into a human body. Like, that's her big thing right now is free will.
Yeah.
The question... But beyond that, like, it is an interesting question. Like, what is her motive? And, like, what is her ultimate goal? Like, is she trying to get a human body to be with Fitz? Like, is that... Because I could see that. Like, right from what we've built to right now, I could see her love of Fitz being her driving force.
I think Ada is still run by her first, like, commandment from Radcliffe, which is to protect everyone.
Yeah.
And I think that is... I think she's still 100... I think seeing her interaction with Daisy, she still believes what she is doing is protecting everyone, keeping them in a world where, for the most part, they're safe. And especially if, like, Mace comes back in the next episode, she's like, look, he didn't die. This is still Mace.
He's totally fine. I have more room in the lab now that I don't have to have his carcass there.
Yeah, like it's still Mace's intelligence. It's still the collection of all of his experiences, just up to a certain point. I think she still wants to protect everyone. I think maybe now that she is in the framework, stupid, dumb emotions might be getting in the way of that, but I think ultimately her goal is still to protect everyone.
Yeah, I think, you know, one of Radcliffe's goals before, you know, he was super murdered, was to get basically all of humanity uploaded to the framework to essentially do away with the concept of death. Like, in his mind, he's like, nobody has to die anymore. Like, I have conquered death. I am master over life and death now.
San Jacinto.
Yeah.
From Black Mirror, everyone.
I gotta say, though, the chat is sort of on my side about seeing some regret in Ada's face at the end. Like, and I think that's just, like, her failure to her ultimate goal, basically, which was Mace to save died. Those people. Like, she was supposed to be creating a safe environment for all these people, and one of them died.
That's true, because, like, we knew from, you know, we've known for a good long while that she was totally content with having Agnes out of the picture. So, killing Agnes, that wasn't a big deal for her. She wanted to take her place anyway. Mm. So, and also it hurt Radcliffe, which I also think she got a lot of, she got a kick out of.
Look, she was jealous of stepmom.
Yeah. She was.
Slash
she was.
Sister.
Self. But yeah.
Step self. She was jealous of her step self.
Of her long lost twin sister? Her doppelganger. But Mace never, you know, she never had that emotional baggage with Mace. Mm. And even though she's come to the conclusion, logically, that sometimes it's okay to kill someone if it means to save a life, here, I don't, wasn't necessarily the thing.
And also, Mace died protecting Data. Like, it was still just, all of those children there were all just bits of Data and not actual humans, so he didn't die saving any lives.
To his credit, he died saving Agent May, Coulson,
well, except
Gemma.
They didn't have to be there. Like, that's the thing, is like, all of those people in that building were all just points of Data.
That's
like,
very
so
true.
So the reason why people went there was to save Data, and then
I did yell at Coulson as he stormed away from the group. Did. I'm like, he's not real. Don't do it. Don't do anything stupid.
Which Gemma is trying to introduce, but it is a very, I mean, it's an AI that is backed by magic. So it is, so like, all of it doesn't make sense as far as AI.
And they have all the memories.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, they, as Mace points out at the beginning of this episode, this is his, you know, and Fitz points it out too, this is their home. Mm-hmm. They have memories here. They've lost loved ones here. Mace gave this really touching monologue about how he lost friends and family, some of whom died in his arms. And he's like, you're going to tell me that all of that was meaningless? If those memories exist, that's got to be really heart-wrenching to hear that, like, hey, that person that you cared about, they don't matter. Like, that's a terrible thing to tell somebody, even if it didn't actually happen.
Yeah. No, it's...
Because to him, it did.
Yeah, and like, especially for Mace, who's defined himself by his actions and his heroism, to tell him, like...
None of it mattered.
All of it was for nothing.
You're like, a hero for... bits of information.
You basically just won a really, really hard video game.
Congratulations. You beat Minesweeper, Mace. Mace, you got the smiley sunny face.
Enter your initials.
He can just enter his name mostly. It would just be Mac.
Yeah. And Mac's just like, ha, 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 looks like I won now. It's a weird alternate version of this that we've
created. Linda Boo on Twitter wrote, Mace is what Coulson was to the Avengers, the death that brought them together. And Belinda also writes, Mace's death is ironic, as Coulson joked, don't get a staff through the chest.
Duh.
Oh, I missed that line earlier. Oh, poor Mace.
Can we talk about Trip?
Yes, speaking and this is what I was talking about at the top of the episode in terms of, like, this is the moment I teared up, was because when they mentioned...
Not when Mace died?
No, I was overcome with emotion at seeing Antoine Triplett again, Zach. I'm sorry. It's been several seasons. But at the beginning of the episode, you know, we had this moment about how a person had an anti-camera, and that was confiscated and that they were sent to a re-education facility, which, as we saw at the top of the episode, just means that's where lots of dead bodies go.
Lots of dead bodies and then mind breaking. Yeah.
Which I love that in the closed captionings they have it that it's Bakshi's voice.
Yeah.
Which also, by the way, Bakshi News, that sounds...
Bakshi News Network, yeah.
All sorts of terrifying. The only thing about this episode that, like, could have been more on the nose in terms of real world parallels is if they had said fake news at some point.
Yeah.
Bakshi News is fake news. But and then we go to the facility, and I was expecting just for it to be a bunch of corpses. But no, there were agents who were still alive, and one of them was Antoine Triplett. And
he hasn't missed a beat either. Like, no! He just, like, nailed the Trip feel.
Oh,
it was so good. Yeah, everyone, like when you went into the frame, we're like, we knew we had to get somebody back, and not just Ward, because like it was too easy to bring Ward back. He also like wasn't like one of he was a bad guy, and like that's fine. Like, he's a good guy in here. Mm. Like, this is like
I still think he's a sociopath, but continue.
Yeah,
he's a good sociopath, I guess. But like there's a lot of characters that we had hoped for. This was one of them. So it's nice to see Trip back on the show without like weird, like, because the fun here is that you can do that without doing like weird resurrection things.
Or like his inhuman power was he turned to dust, and like, and like he's been slowly putting himself back together for the last 3 years.
I loved that. I loved that. Like, right after, you know, he was killed off, one of the coping mechanisms was like, oh, his inhuman power is that he's turned invisible.
Yeah, I think.
Oh, you mean how we lied to ourselves?
I'm pretty sure Ghost in the chat and on Twitter like kept on insisting that like Trip,
Trip lives,
was still alive and just had like some sort of intangibility, invisibility, any human power.
I will give a few people credit. There were a few people that were definitely riding that train for as long as they possibly could.
Some are still on it. it was great seeing him, and it was great that he just like hadn't missed a beat. Like it was just Trip. It was Trip again. And it was great. And I love that we got the backstory with his dad being, or grandfather, being in the Howling Commandos, and that's why he has those boots, spy boots.
And again, and that's why he had the antique camera, too. Yeah. And that's, again, it was one of the most endearing things about his character, was that there was all this history there, especially, you know, tying back to the first Captain America. And that he and Coulson had this kinship because of their love of antiques.
Yeah.
And so it was really great. Although I will say, and maybe this is just because he is a very handsome gentleman. I'm like, he looks really good considering he's been trapped in a cage for God knows how long.
Yeah, he was in a re-education kennel for a while.
Hey, you know what? He looks darling. He looks fresh as a daisy.
I also like that S.H.I.E.L.D. had a bust. Like, just a legitimate bust.
I didn't even think about that.
They were like, we gotta take the bus.
Yeah, Coulson was like, let's get to the bus. And I was like, yeah, get to that bus.
Oh, that bus doesn't have a nice bar, though.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, that is a very clever joke they put in there.
There were quite a few of them this evening. Yeah. Like I said, a few of them were a little on the nose, but you know what? It's fine. Totally rolled with it.
Coulson also said branding is everything.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it was so on point. Yeah. Oh, it was so good. This is something that, like, it's just so much joy if you've been with S.H.I.E.L.D. from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I know that, not to get into news and gossip, but, like, because we're not going to do that tonight, but, like, I really do hope that if they really are currently in the process of writing season 5, that we end up getting season 5. That would be cool.
That would be great. What did you guys think about Radcliffe's one sentence can change anything? And then he gave two examples of sentences that need a whole lot of other things to happen in order for it to change anything.
Like we're having a baby.
Like we're having a baby. Like that you need to have done a lot of other things.
That's not just a sentence that changed it.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that go into that sentence existing.
I will grant you the I love you one can make her...
Could...
Or break, like, an entire life, because, like, not saying that can change everything.
That's the whole Ted Mosby thing. I think I'm falling in love with you. What? And that could ruin everything.
Sure. But even that, like, the... I think it's a false premise. I think there is a lot that goes into it, because just even I love you, like not said or said, has a lot of other things involved.
Yeah,
with it.
there's a buildup. Yeah. The thing was is that the this whole monologue. It, obviously, you can dissect it very easily, but the whole point of the monologue was the emotion behind it.
Sure.
And I have to hand it to them, like, emotionally, it really got the job done.
Yeah.
Like, you feel for Daisy here because she's like, I feel no sympathy for you whatsoever because you're the monster that did all this. But, like, he has lost the woman that that he loved in more ways than one. And now she's completely gone forever, and he has to deal with it, and he has to deal with it knowing that it's 100% his fault.
Yeah.
And
that the person who organized it has her face.
Yeah, has her face, actively tortures him whenever she can.
Yeah.
And again, is a constant reminder that this is all his doing. So I agree with you. We can easily rip that monologue apart if we just look at it and go, yeah, no, all of these things have lots of context. Or, like, these sentences in and of themselves just mean that something else happened.
Mm.
But it's the emotion there that's
for sure
really driving it.
But he built a back door in.
Yes!
There's always a back door.
Which makes you wonder why he hasn't taken it just yet. Oh, wait, because he has no body.
Yeah.
Yeah, he has nowhere to go.
Yeah.
Nope.
He's just playing croquet on an island, presumably Tahiti.
it is a magical place.
Yeah.
So I mean, now where we are, like Daisy knows theoretically what the back door is, how to access it. She has the technical skills to be able to do it.
Pays to have a hacker on the team.
And now, because May got like woken up. One sentence can change everything. I guess there was a
context.
Snap out of it, May. And you're just like, oh man, she totally did.
She did. Oh gosh, I'm gonna be real excited to have Quake back. It's like you can definitely tell that Daisy's like, man, it would be so great if I could just blast someone in the face right now.
And now she's got that power back.
Yes. Oh, it's going to be great. Before we move on with the rest of the episode, I want to talk to you guys really quickly about iTunes. Folks, thank you so much to everybody who's gone to iTunes to rate, subscribe, leave a comment. We love hearing from you. We love the fact that we have an international audience. We love the fact that people stay up late to participate in our live chat. That it is...
Yeah, when we joked about lateness, people were like, it's 2 a.m. here.
You guys are amazing. So but the best way to let our producers know that you guys like the show that we're putting on is not me smacking the microphone.
Yeah, calm down, man.
Go to iTunes to rate, subscribe, and leave a comment because it keeps the lights on, keeps us at this desk. It lets them know that you guys love hearing about us talk Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And if you do, you may just get a shout out on the show.
And we legitimately read all of them. Read all the reviews.
Yeah, we read them, even if we don't have time to do the shout-outs
on the show. I don't know about you guys, but whenever I need cheering up, I'm like, I wonder what iTunes has to say about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
So thank you, Phoenix Incarnate, Ernie KD, the master of tasks.
You
clearly have been listening to this podcast for a while, and I appreciate it. And Serpentina Lynn, thank you guys for your... reviews and keep them coming. I know that I made some promises.
You made one very specific promise.
Look, I'm going to update it so that like you got to do a little more work and we can get some round numbers going here because I am now of sound body and mind. Also, I still don't think that this will be a challenge for you guys. We're at 491 reviews, like written reviews.
That's amazing.
That's crazy numbers.
Yeah.
We're also 7 ratings shy of 650, which is a cool round number.
That is a nice.
Oh, goodness.
So if 9 more people write us reviews, if that number reads 500, I will carry through on my promise.
It's a promise I made for you.
No one stopped him. So
yeah.
Me and Zach will write fanfic.
We will write and read fanfic. We didn't just say fanfic.
Erotic fanfic.
Erotic fanfic.
As clean as we can do for the broadcast, erotic fanfic. Or rather, as dirty as we can make for this broadcast.
It'll be like Tina Belcher.
It's 2 in the morning fiction. Some places. We could go as filthy as we want.
After Buzz, After Dark. Oh, gosh.
It will happen. 9 more reviews.
So if you ever wanted to see After Buzz hosts do a radio play, that's sort of what you'll get.
Yep.
In a sense. But honestly, guys, thank you so, so much. Like I said, it's the highlight of our day, and it really means the world to us. So thank you guys so, so much.
You guys rock.
I want to go ahead and take a step back and get back to kind of Gemma's side of the story.
Let's do
because
it.
Because as much as I wish she had been a little bit more active in this episode, I really, talking about the emotional undercurrent, I really loved the interactions that she had at S.H.I.E.L.D. headquarters because she had a bold strategy in terms of talking to Mace. She told him the truth.
Yep.
And that was mind-boggling. And I love, as much as I dislike Ward as a character, I loved Framework Ward's reaction of, huh, I need a drink. Because you can't really tell if he actually buys into the idea that she's telling the truth. Because he believes in Daisy. Not necessarily Gemma, but he believes in Daisy. He's either dealing with an insane person, and his girlfriend is subsequently insane, or they're right, and he's not real.
I don't think he believes Gemma just because he mocked her later. When she was watching Mac and Hope, he mocked her feeling for it.
And this is what I'm talking about in terms of him still being a sociopath. Yeah. Like, again, maybe it's just a coping mechanism to try to deal with the existential crisis of him maybe not being a real person. But yeah, he, every time he talks to Gemma, and maybe it's just because she's seething hatred his way, and this is just his method of deflection, but every time he talks to her, I feel like he's trying to manipulate her. And he actively is, because he's under orders from Mace to try to get as much information out of her as possible.
I think as soon as there's proof that the framework isn't real, Ward is going to do everything possible to keep the real people from leaving the framework.
Ooh.
Really?
Because this is the only world he knows. Like, if they leave, then the framework shuts down and he dies. If he keeps them there, then his world stays alive.
Yeah, but I get the sense that this Grant Ward would ultimately sacrifice himself if he thought it would save, in this reality, she's Sky. Like, I get the sense that, like, regardless of what he is in our reality, in this world, he is ultimately a good guy and will do anything for her, including destroying his entire world.
That'd
and
be nice.
Himself.
That'd be a nice change.
I think this is supposed to redeem aspects of Grant Ward in our eyes.
Him mocking
Gemma for having feelings does not make me feel that way.
Like I said, and maybe it's just because this is the way they've played these characters in the past.
Yeah.
But I'm like, can't trust you. Even if you are on Mace's side, even if you are on the side of S.H.I.E.L.D. in this world, like, you're still a sociopath who takes pleasure out of manipulating other people.
Yeah.
Yeah, he might be using his powers for good in this world, but that doesn't take the way away from the fact that it's really messed up that he likes manipulating
people. He isn't a real person, so all of his stuff, like, his dad and brothers are still the same.
Oh, yeah.
Well, again, it depends. Like, the world all fell together differently.
That's true.
True, but a lot of people have similar, at least mostly similar backstories to what they were in the real world.
We can assume that a lot of, until proven otherwise, a lot of his backstory remains intact. And I feel like that's a safe assumption.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I'm sad to bring it up. But it would have been very interesting, had Bill Paxton not passed away, to see what kind of role Garrett might have had in the framework, and how and whether or not that would have affected, Framework Ward's trajectory as a character.
Yeah.
Like I said, I hate bringing it up, but because it's sad to think about. But to kind of go back, we have Mac here, and he does bring up a good point. Mac has feelings for this kid who is not real. And Gemma's the one constantly saying that, and yet she steps in and she's like, no, Mac can stay here. I'll go in his place. It's totally fine.
Well, that's because she loves Mac. Like, Mac is her coworker and, like, someone that she cares for. And, like, seeing him find out that his daughter is not real would be heartbreaking.
Would crush him. And she's like, just let him have this for just a little while longer.
It's gonna be, like, so painful. We don't know yet if, like, we sort of assume the memories of this place are gonna carry over. Like, we know that the framework affects memories, like, in one direction. Like,
yeah.
It could theoretically be possible that I would say Daisy and Gemma will definitely remember because they came in a different way. But the others, like, whether they remember or not, I don't know.
That would be disappointing because
I think they didn't remember.
I guess the only situation that it would be interesting for would be for Fitz.
Well, for Fitz and for Mac, and I think for May, I'm sure May has executed and killed a lot of innocent, what she thought were real people, and I think it would be more interesting to see them deal with the repercussions of what they became had that one sentence not been said or done, than them to come back and be like, it's okay, like, everything's fine.
Speaking of May, I, first of all, that fight scene with her and Mace, I thought was well done.
Uh-huh.
But I will say that, like, more than I'm used to, you could definitely, and I think this had everything to do with Ming-Na's injury, having broken her leg, but yeah. You could, for me, I could tell a lot more of the stunt work that was done, when normally it's pretty seamless.
Yeah.
And like I said, I feel like that's 100% having to do with her injury. Still a champ. Like, yeah. 100, like, still great. But I wanted to get your guys' take on her turnaround, her turn in this episode, because the thing that really gets her to turn isn't necessarily that she's being a hypocrite by, you know, augmenting her strength. It's the idea that they fired on a building with children in it, when in the previous previous episodes and even in this one, she's shown to be pretty heartless to that fact.
Yeah.
Because just because there are children around doesn't mean they're innocent, given her own personal experience. So I wanted, did you guys buy the turnaround by her seeing kids in this building, that was enough to sort of sway her?
I thought the turnaround was seeing Coulson care so much.
That's true.
I think that's where her turn was. It was...
But it definitely affected her, though.
It did.
The idea that there were, when she saw kids coming out, like, that wasn't okay.
Yeah. That for sure. But I think that was maybe, like, the seams breaking. But I think the big turn was when Coulson was there saying, look, either kill all of us or help us with these children. Those are your two options. And, like, ordering her around and her being like, oh, yeah, this is what I used to do.
That's director Coulson coming out.
Yeah. I think that was where her turn is. And, oh, it gave me warm butterflies. Like, it was nice to see May back and not Hydra May.
Yeah.
Not evil, scary May.
Yeah. And that's the thing, is that, like, deep down, like we know that the good person that she is still in there. Mm-hmm. And I think we can make the same assumption for Fitz once he gets steered away from Madame Hydra and his evil father.
Yeah, his dad.
Straight up evil dad.
I want to punch that guy in the face so hard.
Yeah.
Except I feel like he would like that. And it's just like, I don't... Mm.
He's like, did you get it out of your system? Yeah. Okay, good.
I have a feeling,
real men don't apologize.
I have a feeling that dad has been in more than one or two bar fights.
He looks like he goes to, like, soccer, like, football bars, like, just to fight people.
Just wearing the opposite colors.
Yeah, he doesn't even care about it, about the sport. He's just, like, wants to fight.
He just wants to fight, yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, that entire speech was really interesting, because almost all of it was him talking about kind of how, like, what real men do.
It's toxic masculinity at its worst.
Well, it was interesting because then he capped it with, you're with Madame Hydra, do what she says. Which was a really interesting kind of look into that idea of toxic masculinity, where it's like, you say a billion terrible things, but then you say one maybe good thing, and you think that makes up for the billion terrible things.
Yeah, like, that's your mother talking, and he talked about womanly sentiment being a very terrible thing.
Yeah, sure.
And he's like, it's a good thing you have a good woman there who understands you.
Yeah.
Who are you? Yeah. I don't understand you or how you think. It makes no sense to me. That's a good program right there.
Yep.
That's good programming for Ada. But yeah, it actually took, with how cold and distant this guy was, it took me a solid minute to realize it was his dad talking, because at first I thought it was just a random Hydra agent talking about how they carted some guy off for re-education.
As soon as he was like, he spoke with that accent, I was like, oh, this is Fitz's dad.
For me, I didn't pick up onto it until he said son, and then I was like, oh, he doesn't mean son in, like, the general younger person sense. He means specifically
my son.
Yeah. But, like, even after that, there was just no warmth between the two of them at all. Even when Fitz, like, puts his hand on his shoulder, it's just, it's just ice.
Yeah.
It's so cold and lifeless. Oh, man. Could you imagine growing up like that?
Yeah.
No wonder Fitz, in this reality, is the person he turned out to be.
Did you guys notice that when Fitz talked to Skye, or Daisy, or whatever. I'm going to call her Quake.
That's good.
When Fitz talks,
she's Quake by the end of this, for sure.
Talked to Quake. He was like, or she was like, "Hello, Fitz," and he said, "Doctor." And then when Gemma did the exact same thing with Mace, it's like, it's Dr. Simmons.
It's Dr. Thinks.
Yeah.
And I like the parallels, actually, between both of those scenes, because the long and short of it from both Mace and Fitz was, you don't know me here.
Yeah.
Like, what am I? Do I do this? Do I do this? No? Okay, cool. You don't know me.
The truth is, she doesn't know Mace that well. In general.
Yeah. And now never will.
Yeah. He only recently was on their side at all.
Well, and they were at odds for so long, too. It's only recently that he's like, you know, completely jumped on board. And for the most part, without his super strength, they basically treated him as a nuisance PR guy at best.
Yeah.
So, like, now that he's, you know, given a heroic sacrifice, you know, that's a lot of baggage for Gemma to carry with her, especially knowing that Fitz is also a murderer in this world.
Did you guys have an issue that, like, Hydra has an army, yet they were able to escape on a bus? Like, they have an army, they have drones.
They have Quinjets.
They had a Quinjet. They're firing on a building. Yet they were all able to just kind of, like, walk out of the rubble and get into a bus with sans molestation.
I mean,
like, apparently they took
May out. May could have ordered a retreat.
But she had a body cam on. That's the thing. She had her body cam turned on, so, like, they would see everything that was going on. Like, Hydra has an army. They could have, like, I get that May is the cavalry, and it's fine, but they could have sent... She got beat. They could have sent more cavalry.
I mean, she could have just walked out and been like, yep, Patriot's dead, time to go home. And then that's the end of that, and everybody can just hop on the bus and go home.
But again, they had body... She had her camera on, so they would see
that.
Yeah,
that's going to come back.
Yeah. Like, that's going to bite her, for sure.
Like, she... Like, it's not going to be... It's going to be pretty quick, I feel like, when you throw Terrigen in the middle of Hydra base.
Very true.
And in a room that is meant for being observed.
This is a fair question, though.
Sure.
From the chat.
Go for it.
What up, chat?
I missed who said it. Well, either way.
Just repeat your name.
What are the does Daisy definitely come out of Terra Genesis with the same abilities?
I guess so.
I think so. I would really... how terrible would it be if she just had lion paws? and that's the transformation that takes place.
That would be funny. Well, because the whole thing is that it's... That Terra Genesis and Inhuman DNA is a program.
Yeah.
And it gives powers out based on... what is needed.
Yeah.
Now, in this case, I feel like earthquake powers and trying to break out of a building, pretty damn useful.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah. Yeah.
And also, I feel like the way that the algorithm is working, it would just give her, like, would use Occam's razor and just use the
It's
most
just like, oh, well, this is what useful. It was, yeah, the, you know, ba- you know, on, in the reality that we're based on. Yeah. So.
That said, if somebody wants to fan art Daisy with lion paws, all for it.
Also, Daisy is a door.
Daisy is an adorable little puppy that can open up trans-dimensional worlds.
Oh, no. She just evolves. She just comes out of there as Eldrick.
Yeah.
Or, if we want to tie it back to way back when Zach first started being on this panel, draw her in Miss Marvel's outfit.
She comes out with magic Kree power. We're almost out of time.
Oh, that would be great. I feel like this is a good point
we'll be done.
To start talking about straight up predictions. Do you guys have any other comments about this episode before we move on?
Prediction time.
Yeah, let's do
it. Do some predictions. There will be a ghost in the... Actually, there could be a ghost because of Darkhold magic now that I think about it.
Technically, Radcliffe is a ghost.
Yeah,
he's a digital ghost.
He's a ghost in the machine.
I was just about to make that joke.
To see our review of Ghost in the Machine, Sci-Fi Weekly.
Ghost in the Shell.
Ghost in the Shell, sorry. That's the same thing.
Yeah, that's basically is.
Yeah. She was iRobot. It's a lot better.
A person got transferred into Black Widow's mind, and that's the... Or wait, no, Black Widow got transferred into a robot body. That's how that movie went, probably. Yep. I don't know. I haven't seen it.
No, that's it.
And that was basically it. So yeah, I feel like direct predictions for next week... I feel like you guys were right. It's not going to take long for Daisy and May's assault on Hydra to happen. I feel like basically they're going to walk out of the room and go, okay, let's go. Guns blazing. Mm-hmm. Not really any time to formulate a plan. We're just going to go. Outside of that, I feel like we're going to see a little bit more of the old Fitz because we saw a tiny glimmer of it. He just needs to get away from Ophelia and dear old dad.
Sure.
I don't know if he's going to get the opportunity, though, because they keep him under pretty close watch.
Yeah. I mean, Madam Hydra, Ada, is like, ooh. She's evil. And, like, I feel like unless, I wonder if the back door out of there is to shut down Ada.
I was thinking that the back door was Ada. Like, was the Ada in the... To get the Ada in the framework to open up the back door, and that's why she doesn't have access.
There was a brief clip in the promo of Ada in the framework incapacitated, and it drove Fitz kind of crazy. What if the back door is something, like, they have to knock her out, or essentially disable her programming for a little bit before they can access the back door? Sure. That could be it.
My prediction is that we will see Mace again, that Ada in the real world will just have his brain scan and just put him back into the framework. And I also predict that maybe Ada... will use Lincoln against Daisy.
Yeah. Yeah. If she's not going to comply, then use the one thing that, you know, she knows will be her.
So, she doesn't even have to give him to her. She just has to use him.
Yeah. Well, and maybe Ward will kill Lincoln.
The only other long-term prediction I want to make is that I think by the time we get to the end of this, I feel like once everybody gets out of the framework, I feel like they're going to allow the framework to continue to exist.
Oh, interesting.
Because I feel like everybody's getting a little too attached to this digital world and to the people in it. Why make a big deal about saving all of these digital children if you're just going to turn it off or wipe everything as is?
Because it's made from the Darkhold evil energy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a pretty good reason.
Evil magic. That's fair. It is evil magic. I think that just about does it then for this week. Jesse, where can people go if they want to find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at JessKlein1. That's JessKlein, the number one. You can also see me doing After Buzz's Iron Fist Breakdown. I haven't seen all the episodes because we're still going through all of them. I'm starting to enjoy the series. also, this Sunday, you can see me and Zach and Popcorn Talk, our sister network, doing Sci-Fi Weekly. Are we going to do the Make It Better?
Yeah, don't know. We're going to take a movie. We haven't decided which one yet. We're going to take a bad sci-fi movie.
And we're going to make it better.
Yeah.
That sounds awesome.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
I'm Zach Wilson, guys. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at ThatZachWilson. Also, check out the Doctor Who After Show, which is on Sundays, and we just did the first episode of season 10. Peter Capaldi's last season. It was a great episode and a very fun after show. Also, The Leftovers came back.
Whoa.
And it's filled with all kinds of, like, the weirdest, like, excited but depressing and I don't know how I feel in this of any TV show. Join us on Sundays as well.
Be sure to follow Tehran on the social media atmosphere at I Am Tehran, and be sure to follow me, Megan Salinas, on Twitter and Instagram at The Menguin. That's THEMENGUIN. I am also on a bunch of shows here at AfterBuzz, and I write articles for The Movie Chick. That's Chick with two Ks. Be sure to check those out. Be sure to check out The Shadow Remastered on YouTube as well. I'll be tweeting out that link at some point later on. Thank you guys so much again for staying up with us. Have a wonderful night. We will see you all next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other After shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
See you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.